Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn McGeek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 17th, 2012, episode 406. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Okay, ready? Lesson 3. ¿Cuál es tu nombre? Mi nombre es Jaime. ¿Cuál es tu nacionalidad? Soy americano. ¿Cuál es su número de teléfono? Soy casada. El clima aquí es muy caliente. I'm doing good, huh?
Are you learning to speak with Jose?
No, I'm learning to speak with Spanish in 4 simple steps from the Living Languages Department. I started yesterday. So really, it probably should have started about 3 months ago, but I'm a little behind. So basically what I said to you, I'm sure you understood. Did you understand?
Yeah, every word. You said, I'm really hungry, but I don't eat meat.
No, I learned that it was very good to learn this. What is your name? Well, my name is Jamie. What is your nationality? I am American. What's your phone number? I am married. How awesome is that? I'm sorry. Soy casada. I am married. And then I said, the weather here is very hot. This place is hell. No, I didn't say this place is hell, but I got to learn that. I'm from the desert. It is 109.
Well, that's funny. That's funny. I love the one about I'm married. That's probably a good one to learn before you go to Spain.
So if I hear my husband say something, soy soltero, he's in big trouble because that means I'm single.
Hey, Jamie, I think you're going to have to give us a call back. You're breaking up a little bit. We'll go right to Jennifer, what's on today's show while Jamie resets here.
On today's Thursday edition, the horse race, whose name we dare not mention, takes the lead as Glenn and Jamie rehash recent racing topics relating to said sporting event while reviewing the post positions. Okay, I thought you would hit the button. Next up, part 2 of our tour through Sally Horse Vans will provide intriguing insight into the inner workings of a commercial shipping operation. So stay tuned for the ruckus, folks.
All right, now I'll hit the button.
Gagasus, half horse, half man, with beer in hand, and he strolls the infield best.
See what happens when you go away? All hell breaks loose.
You know, you're going to have plenty of opportunity to do that here in a minute. So you just couldn't wait, could you? You just couldn't stand it.
Well, Jennifer mentioned it. She said the race that didn't have a name, so I helped out. I'm just letting everybody know what's going on.
Do I sound better?
All right, my daily Winnie today goes out to some rescuers. And the rescuers from the Santa Barbara Harbor Patrol, the guys out there on the oil derrick, the paddle boarders who were out and about helping with this rescue that we talked about yesterday. Yesterday we talked about a bizarre rescue that we've never seen before where a horse, well, let me just read this article. It's very short, but this has now made headline news around the world. This is in the New York Daily News. A horse that got spooked during a photo shoot on a California beach took a three-hour swim in the ocean Tuesday night before he was rescued. 3 hours, people. William, an Arabian show horse, was on the Summerlin beach with other horses to model for photography students who were learning how to shoot animals. But after being spooked by the waves, William, also known as Heir of Temptation, romped into the water and wouldn't return. Horses can swim, but not well, and he's never been swimming before in his life, William's owner, Mindy Peters, told the Huffington Post. With the horse some 20 feet from shore, get this, those at the scene made several attempts to bring him in. Now, I'm sure that that was quite a fiasco, but failed, photography teacher April Viffel recounted to the Huffington Post. Someone at the scene called the owner while she was en route by car and told her that the horse had vanished from sight. The owner said, I had to pull over my car. I just started bawling. Fortunately, some men from a nearby oil rig spotted William in the water 1 mile from shore and alerted authorities. Fire Captain Jay Irwin told the Santa Barbara News Press newspaper that the horse's head looked like a seagull bobbing in the water. And yet what you have to know about this Arab who decided to take a long swim is that he is a gray. So I guess he would, with his head sticking out, look like a seagull bobbing in the water. The Santa Barbara Harbor Patrol, along with 2 paddleboarders, helped William swing back to shore with only 10 minutes of daylight left. It was a real needle in a haystack kind of find, the Harbor Patrol said. He looked like every other bird that was just sitting on the water. He's at the Alameda Potato Equine Hospital recovering right now. Okay. So we have a bunch of horses on the beach with photography students who were probably trying, this is my take, they said he was spooked by the waves. But if you're spooked by the waves, why do you run into the waves? That doesn't make any sense at all. So
I'm telling you, yeah. He was trying to commit suicide. There's just no other option. There's just no other explanation. Like, you know what, I'm just going to end it all right now. I'm just going to end it all.
Hey, Jamie, you are still breaking up pretty bad. I think you might have to do a reboot and reset your mic. And give us a call back. We'll hold down the fort while you're doing that. So while Jamie gets things situated there, we'll just keep going here. But anyway, Jennifer, do you believe this story, or do you think what I was kind of thinking is that the art students were trying to get the horses to be more animated and probably started throwing some sand in the air or something like that to get their attention, to get their ears up. And here we have this Arab who was at the beach for the first time and probably did get a little spooked. But why would he run into the water? That's the part that I don't get.
Well, the only thing I can come up with is if the horse has been trained to do an at-liberty class where the horse is literally trained to zip about in a very animated fashion, usually at a trot, and they're very high energy for like 2.5 or 3 minutes or whatever it is. And then there's a signal that the trainer gives the horse that tells the horse, okay, it's time to stop and come back to me. If the horse was trained to do that type of behavior and he was in a really unfamiliar territory, he might have mistaken this, like, oh, I'm supposed to run around and be a little bit crazy until I hear the signal. And by the time he thought twice about it, it was too late.
Yeah. Yeah. And if he ran sort of out, you know, along the beach and got into the waves a little bit after he got 20 feet in or 30 feet in and they were trying to catch him, he probably got disoriented and didn't know which direction he was heading. And, you know, some beaches like the one we were on over the weekend had a horrendous undertow, which is something that he wouldn't be familiar with. And it was pushing us bad down the beach. So
and if
know,
he's afraid, if he's afraid of the breaking waves, once he's beyond the breakers, is it going to be a case of I don't want to go back towards the breakers because that's what I find scary? The calm water that I'm swimming in isn't.
Right. And you
maybe
know what? We do have a – there is a tiny video. It's about a minute long that somebody took in a neighboring boat of this horse being rescued of William. So
yeah,
Jennifer will post that.
I can't find it. I can't find
under,
it.
It's under my Daily Winnie on the show notes, yeah, if you hit refresh.
Oh, well, that's
there.
I couldn't find it.
Yep, that's where it is. So if you want to post that so everybody can see William alongside the boat getting rescued, he was out there for 3 hours. That's a long time for anybody to swim, let alone a horse. That's a long time. No wonder he was tired when he got back.
That's crazy. Now, this has a picture on it, but I don't see any video.
There was a video at the very top of the article. And this is from horsetalk.co.nz is where you'll find it. It was at the very top.
Okay.
So that's great. Post that. There you go. Congratulations to everybody out there, to the oil dock workers who noticed this horse out there, and to all the rescuers who went to his aid. It certainly is a story that we haven't seen before. And while we're waiting for Jamie, I want to remind everybody that our Really Bad Ads Prize is very popular this week. Jennifer got a bunch of them yesterday, but you can still submit yours. We need those Really Bad Ads for our segment tomorrow at 10 o'clock. The winner will receive a Flexin fork from EquityMFG.com. This is the best manure fork that you're going to find out there. They are built to last. They are the toughest forks we've ever found. These are the ones that are not motorized. They're the Flexin fork, the regular manure fork that you'll find. They have two different basket sizes, whether you have, shavings bedding, or if you have pelleted bedding, you're going to use different basket sizes, and he's going to give you a choice for there. Helena over at the Stable Scoop Radio Show, Jamie and we all use the Flexin fork. We absolutely love it for cleaning the paddocks here. It has a fine, we have the fine tine one, and it's perfect. It even picks up acorns. The acorns that come down by the millions from our live oak trees, it even is small enough to pick up the acorns. So when you're cleaning like a pelleted stall with this, not a poop gets through. It'll be cleaner than you've ever seen it before. They are great forks, worth $45, and they're a little more expensive than other forks that you'll find at the store. But let me tell you what, these things will last you a long, long time. Jennifer's going to post a picture of me using the shaken fork. That's a different fork that somebody asked about on Facebook. That is actually a motorized manure fork that shakes for you. It does all the shaking for you. It has a battery pack in it, and it is the coolest thing ever. This is horse husband approved. And we've talked to a lot of people. This one's a little more expensive. Yes, it's a $200 plus fork, but we've talked to a lot of people that clean a lot of stalls every day or have some kind of physical impairment that absolutely love the shaken fork. I know I've used it, and it is the coolest thing. That you want to check that one out, too, when you go to the website at equitymfg.com. But for this week, we are giving away, or they are giving away, one of the Flexin forks. And we thank Joseph over at Equity for providing that as a prize today. So check that out at equitymfg.com. Jamie, are you back?
I am. Does it sound any better?
Oh, that sounds better so far. Good. I think you just needed a reset. All right.
I guess so.
I talked this whole time waiting for you to do your daily Winnie. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Wow. I mean, it's not even like this super awesome daily Winnie. I just wanted to wish good luck to all the competitors in New Zealand and in France. There are some 3-stars and 2-stars going on. These are some of the qualifications overseas for the Olympic Games. And so Taupo is in New Zealand and Samira is going on in France. And I know that a lot of people had to travel. We even have Americans at Samira. So I know a lot of people had to travel to the horse trials after badminton was canceled. So just wanted to wish everybody good luck. Come home
safe. Thank you. And that's a venting for everybody that was wondering what she's talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry, whatever.
People that are regular listeners know that she assumes that you think you know it's eventing.
Well, badminton was canceled. I mean, we talked about that repeatedly, so I kind of figured, whatever. Okay, it's eventing. It's a sport that we like.
Well, I have something. I know we're going to talk about that race coming up this Saturday in just a minute because you have the post position order.
Yeah.
But I got to talk to you about something first. We're going to start a new segment now. Unfortunately, I could not get him on because he was on the road for about 2 weeks, and you're going to be gone then, so I couldn't get him on. But we're going to start a new segment called Jamie, You're Not the Only One. Because somebody who lives in our development here, who is the president of the Association for the Development by the name of Jim Bain of Falcon Performance Institute, came on our show to talk to us about the development we were moving into and how wonderful it is and everything. And he came on and talked to us about that. But he wrote a blog post on his blog that caught my attention the other day, and it just made me think of you. And I know that there's a lot of listeners out there that when something goes wrong on their farm or something bizarre happens, they immediately think of Jamie. Because that's your life. Yeah, it's true. It's your life. If it's bizarre and weird, it's going to happen to you. Well, I want to read this blog post. It's short. It's like 4 or 5 paragraphs. But it just describes your life. And I'm just doing this, Jamie, to make you feel better and to make you realize that you are not the only one that has situations like this. So this is from Jim Bain, and it's called Warning Signs. I should have known when my wife suggested that we go to the Perry Plantation in Gainesville, Florida, for a moonlight ride, that I was in trouble. Riding at night, even in the moonlight, can be an interesting adventure or a disaster. In my mind, chances are about 50-50 either way. But I ignored the warning signs going off in my brain and said, okay. I should have known when she told me we would be doing a cross-country jumping thing known as a hunter pace in the horse world, that chances were good that one of us would end up experiencing an unscheduled dismount. But I ignored those warning thoughts too. What the heck, I said. It'll be an adventure. I should have read the sign so neatly affixed to the inside wall of our trailer. It says right on it, don't sleep in here. Failure to comply may cause injury or death. But no, I laughed and ignored that one too. In short, the moonlight ride was significantly less enjoyable than we had hoped. With 28 horses and riders, all unfamiliar with each other or the territory, we were out an excruciating 1 hour and 45 minutes. My horse was barely tolerable. My wife's horse lost her mind. We returned to the barn camping area shortly before midnight and quickly retired to our cramped quarters. In the course of the night, the 39 hounds kenneled on the property decided to sing a duet with the numerous coyotes in the area. We had to pump up the air mattress multiple times as it was losing air faster than a locker room full of high school boys after a baked bean dinner. The horses in the tent 20 yards to our right giggled, the girls in our tent 20 yards to the right giggled their way to sleep sometime after 2 a.m. And in spite of being in Florida, the temperature dipped to around 50 overnight, which is not a problem if you come prepared with blankets. We were not, and we were freezing. The next morning we got up, having almost no sleep, and saddled our horses for the hunter pace. They were skittish, we were exhausted, and we ignored the warning signs again. How bad can it be? It's just a ride in the fields and woods, an adventure. We didn't make it out of the warm-up ring. Skittish horses and tired riders often add up to an unscheduled dismount. This day was no exception. Two horses broke loose from their tethers, careening about the property riderless. One of ours decided to eject its rider, who shall remain nameless to protect the embarrassed. With sore backs from our sleepless night on a deflating mattress and from hitting the ground a little awkwardly, we finally heeded the warning signs. We skipped the hunter pace, packed our stuff and horses, hung our heads in defeat, and headed home. All in all, the weekend was a complete bust, but we lived to ride another day. Sometimes the signs are posted right on the wall. Sometimes they're just passing thoughts running through your brain. Maybe that's what makes it an adventure. Either way, it's probably a good idea to at least consider the signs. We'll be back on a different day, having learned from this experience. We'll be better prepared to decide whether to heed the signs or pass them off as unfounded fears. Einstein once said that any idea that does not at first seem insane is not worth pursuing. I like that. It won't be long before we're ready for our next adventure, and to hell with the warning signs.
Wow. Sounds like not only were they having a bad day, there was a whole heck of a lot of people that were. So they weren't even alone then, too. So there's a whole group of people that were having days like I have on a daily basis.
Now, let's look at the similarities to past stories that we've heard from Jamie. Okay. Sleeping in the trailer on an air mattress that is constantly deflating. 50 degrees overnight in a place that normally should be warm and with no added warmth available, no blankets along, nothing like that, because we live in Florida. You live in Arizona. It shouldn't be that way.
But see, you got to stop because his was tame compared to the fact that I was in Southern California, Glenn. Southern California, and woke up to 5 inches of snow. So a little more extreme. 50 degrees would have been welcome. Go ahead.
And then the final thing is two horses breaking loose from their tethers and careening around the property. Sound familiar?
No. You know why? Because I only have one horse at these. So I only have one horse breaking loose. So I win. I win that one.
And, you know, I think in all these adventures, you've never been dismounted, have you?
I refuse to answer that question so I don't jinx myself.
So that's one thing that wasn't quite the same. But don't you love it that he took a picture of his horse trailer. Now, he has one of those changing room horse trailers with the thing with that flat area that goes out over the hitch where people tend to sleep. Don't you love it that there's actually a sign and he took a picture of it? Don't sleep in here. Failure to comply may cause injury or death.
Wait, so it's like a gooseneck trailer?
Yes, yes.
And it says don't sleep in there?
That's what it says. There's a sign that right there on the edge that says don't sleep in here. Failure to comply may cause injury or death.
I have never seen one of those before, ever.
Maybe while driving, but...
Yeah, exactly. I should be way dead, because I've logged many an hour in my gooseneck.
By the way, you can find that at... you can find his blog. He does a great job, and he is actually a professional motivational speaker, and you can tell he has a sense of humor. His website is FPI, F as in Frank, P as in Paul, I as in I, team.com, FPI team.com. So that's where you can find his blog. Thank you for giving us permission, Jim, to read that for Jamie's benefit.
Thank you. Thank you. It makes me feel better.
By the way, we should mention our blog before we go any further. Our chat room, I mean. Our chat room is open. You can find it by going to blogtalkradio.com. And just clicking on Horses in the Morning and scrolling down a little bit, you'll see the chat is open there. Plus, we have posted a link to it on our Facebook page. Actually, we haven't done that. Jennifer, if you could post a link to it. I'll do that, actually, while Jamie goes over the previous field thing up.
Yes, yes, yes. And thank you for reminding me about the blog, because that reminds me to log into it. I mean, the chat.
Yes.
Got me doing it now. Well, you guys... we officially now have the post positions for that race that happens this Saturday that I'm so excited that it's going to happen and then be over with, so you stop playing the stupid freaking song. Go ahead and play it so I can just say the word.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Pegasus, half horse, half man with beer in hand, he strolls the infield best.
Oh, and just a reminder.
I'll have that. Another so. Takes the lead in the Derby and up the line. I'll have another wins the Derby.
Just a reminder.
Thank you. The reason we play that Kegasus song is because the mascot for the Preakness Stakes is this half-man, half-horse named Kegasus, and basically he sits in the infield and drinks. So while the Kentucky Derby is this hoity-toity event where you wear your big hats, apparently the Preakness is just a big old booze fest. So we appreciate the differences, but the Preakness field has now been drawn in post position order, and the morning line odds are done too. So I'll just go through it. We're the first in the post position. Next to the rail is a horse named Tiger Walk, and the odds are 30-1. Teeth of the Dog in the second post position, another horse trained by Michael Matz, it's 15-1. Pretension is Javier Santiago is the jockey, and he's going off at 30-1. Zetterholm, which I read the trainer here, and the trainer is Rick Dutrow, you know, who's I thought he was suspended. His suspension is like parlayed, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, Rick Dutrow has a horse, Zetterholm, going off at 20-1. Went the day well. Graham Motion, I remember that horse from the Derby, 6-1. Creative Cause is off at 6-1 as well in the sixth post position. In the seventh, Bodemeister, who is the morning line favorite, Bob Baffert, the trainer, Mike Smith, the jockey, and he's at 8-5. Number eight, Daddy Knows Best, who also ran in the Derby, and he's going off at 12-1. And number nine, Glenn, go ahead, hit the button.
Oh, wait a minute, I wasn't ready.
I'll have another, takes the lead in the Derby, and up the line, I'll have another, wins the Derby.
blind spot, which they're very happy with. They just didn't want to get him against the rail. So they feel like they've got a great spot. Bodemeister has a great spot. And I'll Have Another is the second favorite, going off at 5-2. In the 10th position, Optimizer, and on the outside, the far outside, which is not that far because there's only 11 horses in the race, is Cosetti, going off at 30-1. So the odds are pretty close. I mean, there's nothing higher than a 30-1, and you've got just two really close picks. Other than that, pretty much everybody thinks that it's going to be Bodemeister and I'll Have Another, and nobody else matters in the race, which is what the odds are showing.
Surprised that Bodemeister actually is a little bit higher in the odds at this point. I think that might change by race day too. Well, I think we'll see him pretty even by race day.
Oh no, see, but this is the type of race that Bodemeister is good at. It can go a little bit slower. You can sprint. I mean, you can go a little bit faster because it's a shorter race. And he was just so darn fast in the Derby. And if you look at the Derby, if the Derby was the Preakness Links, he would have won. So, yeah. You know, but maybe I'll Have Another wouldn't have been pinned in the back a little bit more because there's going to be less horses. And this is the smallest field since 2007. And, of course, that's when Curlin beat the Derby winner Street Sense. And there was only 9 horses in that field. So, you know, it's going to be kind of wide open, really, because there's no major group of horses to get anybody pinned in. And anyway, so it's going to be a good race.
Terrific. Now you're going to be, will you be gone? Will you be in Spain for the Belmont?
I think I will be in Spain for the Belmont. I'm going to be up in, this is funny. I'm going to Flagstaff this weekend. We're doing the Coconino Horse Trials is doing a fundraiser for their cross country course. And it's in Flagstaff, which is actually higher than Denver, just to put it in perspective. It's at 7,000 feet, over 7,000 feet, where I'm going to be this weekend. And yesterday here, Glenn, it's not going to be cooler. It's freaking freezing up there. The low is 32.
Wow.
Yeah. Chad was in the trailer room, like, working. He's, like, trying to figure out how to use the air conditioning and our new living quarters trailer. And I'm like, honey, don't worry about the AC. Is this heat still working? And he's like, what are you talking about? High of 70, low of 32. I'm like, I'll be cranking the heat. There will be no air conditioner used. So 7,000 feet. So I'm actually not going to be there for the Derby either. But I don't know what the Belmont is 3 weeks from then. So, yeah, I'll probably be actually on a plane heading home from Spain when the Belmont takes place.
You know, the poor people at the Belmont, I always feel bad for them every year. I read an article today about how they are praying that I'll Have Another wins this race. Because that's the only reason that anybody ever watches the Belmont. Nobody cares if you don't have a winner in the other two races. Nobody cares. Nobody even watches it. And they just are so praying that they're going to have a good year this year.
Oh, I'm sure, because it's been a little bit of a dry spell for them. So, yeah, I mean, that is definitely the reason that they get a whole heck of a lot of media coverage. Otherwise, it's like, nobody's a big deal. It's a big race.
Another race.
Whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, they get a lot of money from TV rights for those shows. And if nobody watches, then the next year their amount of money goes way down. So,
does it?
Yeah, so that's one of the reasons that they've become kind of upset over the last 10 years is they haven't really had too much to bank on with the TV rights.
I think the last horse that won the Preakness and the Derby was Big Brown, wasn't it? And that was 5 or 6 years ago. So, yeah, they're not having a good time.
We're thinking good thoughts for everybody in New York, that they're going to have a good time this year, that I'll Have Another, we'll win again, and it'll prove me right 2 times in a row. I am so confident.
Well, you know what, Glenn, just to do you and the racing industry a favor, I'm going to select a different horse. Because if I picked I'll Have Another, he would not win. So
okay, pick Bodemeister. Please, 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 please pick Bodemeister.
Well, see, I would, but, I mean, I think Bodemeister's got a better shot than anybody, and I do love Mike Smith. But that's just the easy favorite. You know, that's like me picking the favorite. So I need to go a little bit further out and pick another horse. It doesn't matter whoever I pick is going to lose. So I'm going to go with, let's see. God, the pressure. I'm going to go with Creative Cause. Creative Cause.
Really? Okay.
I have jinxed. That's because I don't know. I don't know why.
He is 6-1, so he's right up there. I mean, he is 6-1. With the Day Well is also at 6-1. Do we know the story on that one?
He was in the Derby.
Yeah, but I know, Jennifer, didn't you pick Went the Day Well? Wasn't that your horse?
I was cheering for Went the Day Well because I like Graham Motion. But see, just like Jamie, that just means he's going to lose.
So who do we not want to win, Jennifer? Who do we not want to win? Let's see. Oh, we don't want Rick Dutrow's horse to win. So we could take Zetterholm.
Yeah.
Okay. We're taking Zetterholm. Jennifer and I are taking Zetterholm.
Yes, we're going to cheer for Zetterholm.
He's guaranteed to come in last with the two
of
you.
Yeah, Zetterholm hats. We're going to put $2 on him, and he will come in dead last. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. That's our pick.
Hey, Jamie, did you know that Mike Smith was not a guarantee to ride Bodemeister again? He pretty much begged for the ride after the Derby. So immediately after the race, there was no guarantee that he was going to be put back on that horse. So it was.
Why? Because he didn't win?
Yeah, because, there were some people blaming him for running him too hard in the beginning and not having enough left at the end and blah, blah, blah. But then Baffert came around and made the announcement, I guess, in the last day or two. Baffert did say Bodemeister runs like his namesake. He's all out till the end. So I think you'll see him coming out strong again. I don't think they're going to change the way he runs for this race.
Well, oh, my God. Well, this is the way to run this race, so he should be in good shape. But poor Mike Smith, it took me a long time to forgive him for racing Zenyatta poorly. I thought he ran her very poorly in the Breeders' Cup when, that 20th race that we pretend doesn't happened. And I'm kind of still mad at him. So poor guy just can't catch a break. I apparently was not the only one who was mad at him, by the way. Like, the rest of the world was, too.
Yes, I think everybody kind of felt that way about the way he ran that race. It was heartbreaking for sure. And I don't know. All right, well, we got to continue on here. We have to stop.
Well,
talking.
I've got one Pimlico story for you, real quick. Really, really cool, actually. The trainer of I'll Have Another. His name is Doug O'Neill, and he's apparently been really gracious with the media, and he's been, he brought the little girl in to meet the horse. Well, he was a little bit starstruck the other day because Ron Turcotte came to visit him and I'll Have Another. And do you remember who Ron Turcotte is?
Yes, I do.
See, he was Seabiscuit. You're so close, honey.
Secretariat.
He was the jockey who rode Secretariat in the 1973 Triple Crown sweep. Well, he was in Maryland for a Horses and Cinema Festival, and he decided to do his tour of Triple Crown races. It's actually going to be a Canadian documentary. So he met with O'Neill, and apparently O'Neill was just all starstruck and couldn't believe he was meeting Secretariat's jockey. So he said, I just got to hang out here with him and talk shop, and it was just goosebump stuff. He was telling us about his ride on Secretariat and how he was last going into the first turn and first coming out of the first turn, and we're going to take some tips that he gave us about how to ride the race here and hopefully be successful in doing it. I mean, you've got Ron Turcotte telling you how to run the race. You're going to be
really
fine.
That is really cool.
Oh, just absolutely awesome. So that is my last Preakness story. Thank you for letting me go with it.
I was within 2 feet of Ron Turcotte. He was in for the World Equestrian Games and did a little press conference, and we got to go over and hang out and listen to him for a little bit. Interesting guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
All right, we're going to take a little break for Equestrian Collections, and then when we come back, we're going to do our second in the professionally transporting your horse series that we're doing. with Sally. And we're going to get to that right after this commercial. And then later on in the show, we have a lot of news for you that that we're going to get to as well. So that's all coming up. Well, I'm here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm here with Debbie from Equestrian Collections. And, Debbie, we're going to talk about a program you have that a lot of people don't know about.
That's right. You know what, Glenn? One of the biggest things people pull their hair out about with online shopping is the shipping. So we have come up with an idea where people can have unlimited shipping. They sign up for our unlimited shipping program. We have two options. The one-way program, where you have unlimited shipping one way. That is, if you order from us, all of your shipping is paid. That costs only $29.95 per year. And we also offer two-way shipping. Now, this is $49.95, and we not only pay for your shipping to you, but if you have a return, we pay for the shipping back to us. So for only $50 a year, you have unlimited free shipping coming and going to Equestrian Collections. So this is a program that is so user-friendly, and it is our customers just love it.
Well, you spend you actually place an order every 2 months, and you've paid for this very easily.
Oh, gosh, yes. You can place one order and pay for it, especially, I mean, one way is only $30, $29.95. It's a complete win-win situation for our customers and for us as well.
Sharon, on your website, on the comments section, posted, "This is a fantastic idea. Amazon Prime offers the same thing, and I always take advantage of it. I now purchase more frequently from Equestrian Collections because I save so much money on shipping costs."
Well, we love that, and thank you so much, Sharon. I did want to say that this does have a few stipulations. It's for continental United States only. It's unfortunately not at this time for our international customers. So I did want to make sure that they understood that.
So if you live in China, I'm sorry. But that's equestriancollections.com. You actually go to the homepage, and right down in the middle you'll see a banner ad about the unlimited shipping. Click on that, and you can go sign up today at equestriancollections.com. Glenn the Geek back with you. I am here with Coach Jen, and we are doing part two in our professional horse hauling segment that we decided to do here. And we have Nicole from Sally Horse Vans, and she was kind enough to haul our horse down here to Florida from Lexington to Ocala. And it, Beaker had a good trip. He raved about it. He thought it was terrific, by the way.
He enjoyed the trip. He got off the van and was fresh as a daisy. But after being here in Ocala, Florida, and tasting the coastal grass here,
yeah,
he wanted to call Sally back and have himself trip
yeah,
back to
Kentucky. Yeah, because, you know, that Kentucky bluegrass is much more tasty than the Florida grass is. So now,
I feel his pain. Bless yeah. his heart.
He's getting used to it, but it's taken a couple days. Now, we covered a lot of things in Part 1. If you haven't heard Part 1, just go back to horsetipdaily.com would be your best option and check it out over there. But we have a lot of questions for you that we want to get to in Part 2 here. We've already covered the basics, but there are some technical questions that we had and that we didn't know the answer to until we dealt with your employees there. Can a client determine the exact date? Or, like with us, you said, well, we'll find a room on the truck and it'll be, you know, it'll be this week, but we're not sure about the exact time. And then you called us 48 hours ahead and said, this is when it's going to happen. How does that work?
Well, when you call in and request a certain date that you would like to travel, if you want an exact date and you want to charter the truck or order the truck to be special just for you, you can give us a specific date. Otherwise, tell us when or about when you would like to go, and we will, based on availability and based on other horses going to the same geographic area, we would try to build it around your request, maybe give or take a day, and you would be going carrier's convenience, which means you're only going to pay for the stall space your horse uses, and that is most typical how people would arrange their transportation, and give us parameters. You need to go between this date, you know, between the 20th and 25th, and we'll do our best to work within that timetable. And that way you're going the most economical way by only paying for stall space, and you agree to go when we have a load built to go to that area.
Okay, good. And now we had a question, too, about wrapping horse. Obviously, when we haul locally or we're hauling to a horse show 2 hours down the road, most people end up wrapping the horse or using shipping boots or something like that. What's the deal when you're hauling professionally?
I would say it's really up to the owner. If you want to ship with shipping bandages or shipping boots, I would say if your horse is used to it, that's fine. If it's a young horse that hasn't worn bandages much, a lot of times they're sort of bothered by it, and it'd probably be best not to put the bandages or shipping boots on him. Often they can do more harm than good if they slip or they're not put on properly. And, you know, if that were the case and our drivers were to see that, they would try to get them off if it was safe to do so, but they wouldn't be able to mid-trip reset your bandages.
So I think that depends, too. That's sort of Jennifer and I discussed this. With a horse that was traveling 12, 14 hours on the trailer, our concern always is, I don't care how well you put them on, is the bandages slipping and causing more trouble than if you didn't have any on.
Right. So, you know, probably general rule of thumb, if the horse is used to wearing bandages and you're comfortable for him being in a truck or in the horse van or the tractor trailer that long with bandages, that's your to be at your discretion. But we probably err on better off without.
Would you say the majority of horses that you guys ship at Sally ship with bare naked legs?
I wouldn't say the majority, because a lot of show horses or horses on the racetrack, they'll go ahead and put standing bandages or shipping bandages on.
Mm-hmm.
But the younger horses, to err on caution, so they're not pulling at them, especially if they're in a box stall and they're not used to them, they can get at them. Just, it's an owner's preference, but I'd err on the cautious side and probably leave them off.
So the youngsters tend to go bare naked, legged.
They sure do.
The show horses tend to get all bandaged up in their bubble wrap.
Yes, they do.
Now, how about shoes? Anything about having shoes on? Or
shoes, you know, some people will put some bandage tape around them just so that they don't nick themselves. But really, if they're wearing shoes, that's fine. It's not a problem to us.
Okay.
Now, and keep in mind that the horse vans are very thoroughly bedded. Those horses have a nice, squishy place to stand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's a long trip, and I always think of it, how would we want to travel? We want to have a comfortable seat where how we're traveling, and they need to have a nice stall bedded to give them the added layer of protection and comfort.
Well, it's bedded better than most stalls I've ever seen, I can tell you that.
It's luxurious. Good. It really was.
Yeah. They're definitely riding in style. Now, how about we have had this problem in the past, and we had it here too, is that where our farm was, the lane was not conducive to having one of those 18-wheel tractor-trailer trucks. They'd have gotten stuck. So what do you do in that case?
Well, there's a couple things we can do. Depending on where your farm is, if it's in an area where we have an office and have smaller horse vans or trailers, we could offload your horse into our barn and reload it into a horse van, buck van, or horse trailer and bring the horse to you that way. But if you're in a location where we don't have that availability, then we would coordinate the dispatcher to get good information about where your farm is, and we would contact you as we're getting close, and we would just coordinate to with you and the driver to bring the horse to the edge of the driveway and road to load, or for you to meet us there at the roadside in your driveway so that you could unload there.
Yeah, okay.
But,
and I have
you know,
known that
communication would be the key so that we would minimize any safety issues for horses, people, or traffic, and doing it very timely.
So they could haul out to a neutral, safe point, too. I've known that you've done that in the past, too.
Sure,
yeah.
But, you know, there's plenty of farms that you can't get in with a tractor trailer. We certainly don't want to try to get in someplace that's not large enough or where we, you know, it would damage anything. So loading off the road if we have to, that's not a problem.
Jeez. Your drivers drive around those back roads of Kentucky, which if it's people who haven't been on them are about one lane wide, maybe, and with no berms. I don't know how they do that sometimes, let me tell you, because they are the narrowest roads I've ever seen.
That's how they practice for NASCAR.
Yes.
Well, they're very skilled. That's one thing we really pride ourselves in, is hiring excellent drivers that are also horsemen,
well,
have a strong horse background.
I wanted to ask you that. Is that the case?
It is the case. That's one of the criteria for us in hiring, is they need to have some background with horses, and we still put them through a pretty stringent and hands-on test or simulation here at the office to make sure that they have the knowledge and experience so when they're out in the field that they're competent and skilled in what they need to do.
They have a couple crazy thoroughbred stallions they keep out back, and those are the ones.
Actually, they've got a couple of mine, yes.
Those are the ones they have to practice
loading. They're in their
keep. And hauling. Now, what happens if the timing's off for a day or two? Is it possible for you guys to hold the horses? Or?
It is. In Lexington, we have our own 16-stall, USDA-approved, for quarantine even, barn right here at our facility where it is actually built so that the trucks, the semis can pull right up to the loading chute that's built into the barn. So the horses actually never leave or on open ground except, I mean, they're just coming straight off the truck straight into the barn to add an added layer of safety there. And it's just like if you're having to connect flights in Atlanta and you have a layover of a couple hours. Well, sometimes horses might arrive here in the morning and make a connecting trip to a totally different geographic area, leaving in the afternoon, and they can stay for today or they can stay for several days and just at a nominal layover boarding charge.
Well, that's awfully darned handy, because oftentimes in the horse business, you've got to work around scheduling issues. Often, whenever we're shipping horses commercially, one of the reasons we're shipping them is it's a very long distance. For us, in our case, Beaker had to make a long trip from Lexington, Kentucky to Ocala, Florida. And from our point of view, that was a long trip, perhaps not from the Sally point of view. That might be an average length trip. About how often do the trucks stop on long trips like that?
Okay, that's a great question. We stop every 3.5 to 4.5 hours to water and check the horses.
Really? Wow.
We do. And they'll stop and offer them water, and oftentimes horses won't drink immediately when they just stop and are offered water, but time the driver goes in and to the truck stop, uses the restroom, comes back out, offers it to them again, they've had a chance to just sort of settle standing still and relax a little bit more, and they'll drink. And so that's very important, to keep them hydrated throughout the trip.
They think about it. They get offered that bucket of water. They're like, no. 15 minutes later, I think on second thoughts, I will have some of that.
That's right. And then also in the box stalls, so there's water buckets hung, so they have, free range to have water at any point in the trip at that point.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, that's terrific. And now let's ask just a couple more things. And one is states. We had state regulations. We were coming into Florida, and Florida is actually a little bit stricter than most states. But
it is.
Will you guys help with what is needed paperwork-wise for our horse to get into whatever state?
We will. We will advise you on what the state requirements are. Each state and venue that you go to have different requirements. So a state might have one regulation, but a show venue or a state fairgrounds or a farm may have different, or a racetrack may have different requirements. So we always suggest that you check with your destination venue for their specific requirements, and then we can guide you as far as state requirements. But most frequently, a negative Coggins test, depending on the state, 6 months or a year expiration. And with the state of Florida, now that you mentioned it, they want original Coggins. They don't want they don't want any copies, and if they are copies, they need to be notarized. And then the horse must travel with a health certificate.
And the health certificate
couldn't
be more than, in Florida, what was it, 10 days old or something? It was pretty short period of time.
Yeah, it's a pretty short period, and that's a great point. Some of the racetracks and show facilities might only let that health certificate be 72 hours old upon arrival. So that's important to double check the venue's requirements.
Yeah, that's true too. And one of the things I want to say that it was terrific is, you know, our Beaker is a trail horse, you know, a quarter horse trail horse. He's probably worth about $100.
$1 million.
$100 in the general population, but about $1 million to us. But you guys were terrific about keeping us informed while he was on the way, you know, he's going to be in at this time, and then calling and saying he had reached the transfer station and was going to be coming. You guys were terrific at that. And I think that means so much to horse owners.
I agree with you so much. You know, a lot of times once a farm puts a horse on a truck, they don't communicate to the receiving end. And so us trying to take a proactive approach there to keep you apprised of your horse's travel and an estimated time of arrival so it, you know, works within your schedule is very important.
Well, it definitely was something that made us feel a little bit better. And Jennifer was so excited to get him here that that's the other part of it, you know, is you are dealing with people who are just, you know, they're passionate and they're excited and they can't wait to see the horse.
That's the important thing about horse people. We are passionate about our horses and just want to know that they're safe and sound and can't wait to have them back in your hands and know they're okay.
Well, this has been a great segment and series. I hope that people learn something along the way. And we can find out more about Sally at sallyhorsetransport.com. That's S-A-L-L-E-E, horsetransport.com. I can't thank you enough for joining us here today. I know that you're in a busy season right now with Keeneland going on and with all of the racing going on all over the country right now. But we really appreciate you taking the time out, one, to haul our horse, and two, to join us for this series.
Well, great. We appreciate being a part of it. And if you go to our website and you have questions beyond things that you find there, feel free to shoot us an email, and we'll be glad to answer any questions you might have. It's important that you have confidence and are comfortable in who you're transporting with, and we look forward to the opportunity of helping many of you ship your horse commercially.
And thank you very much. And it's so good to have that on there. Thank you to Sally for being a part of the show. And now we've got a listener that needs a little help, Glenn. And this is the kind of help that our listeners love to give. Robin Donaghy had a baby. She had a baby. Okay, mind you, it was a horse baby. It was actually a mini baby, and we talked to her yesterday. And Robin bought this filly, a mare, believe it or not, off Craigslist, and got it home, and it just kept getting fatter, and it just kept getting fatter, and they promised it wasn't pregnant. Well, about a couple of days ago, she had a baby. So Craigslist purchased, shocker, it was pregnant, not sold in full. So she's got a baby, and the baby pictures are on our Facebook page right now, and she needs a name. So knowing the story and the background and the idea that this was kind of a mistake baby and all that, so go on Facebook, take a look at this cute little mini foal. Because is there anything cuter than a mini foal? Oh, my God, no. So mini foal needs a name. Go check it out. Do we have any suggestions already, Glenn?
I think we did. Let me take a look here. Let's see here. There were a couple of – she posted it last night, and there were a couple – how about Surprise? Surprise was one
perfect
of them. Herbie. I don't know why Herbie. A couple of thoughts that Robin had herself were Jetty, Pippin, Goliath. Goliath. And Denny. And Wonder was another one for a cult, so that was another idea. So, yeah, we want to hear your names. This is the cue, that picture of that cult laying down with his little legs tucked up, and you realize how small he is when you see him in this picture. He's so little, his little paws. See, that's how small he is, his little hooves.
Yeah, so he's very cute. So go on and try to find a name for the little mini colt. It is a boy, so give it a go there. I can't think of anything besides, you know, accident, mistake, typical situation, those kinds of things. Like my worst nightmare, that could be his name. My worst nightmare. That's his show name.
Well, you know,
you're pregnant.
One that came to mind for me was Who's My Daddy? That came to mind. Yeah.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
That's cute. That's very good. Thank you, Robin, for submitting that. We'll see if we can get some good listener suggestions for a name for your little accident there.
I mean, dear God, we got a billion names for the white standard bread that I posted. And that's not even one of our listeners. We just found this, and I just thought, well, I wonder what they would name something, a rare white standard bread. And we got a million names. I think my favorite was White Lightning. I did love that. Made me think of the movie Lightning. The horse on the beach. Lightning the White Stallion, that's what it was. Yeah.
There were some funny comments on there, too, about the white horse. Yeah. It was funny. Hey, we're going to do our song, and then coming up, Jamie, we're going to talk about, we're going to have Lisa from the Chronicle here with the Chronicle Report, and we're going to talk about a story that hit this morning about a cross-country accident that you're just not going to believe what happened. So we're going to talk about that coming up right after we play a little Templeton Thompson, Wake Up Grateful, one of my favorite songs of hers.
Yeah. and that is Templeton Thompson, Wake Up Grateful, here on Horses in the Morning. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I am Jamie Jennings, along here with Glenn the Geek. And we've got a Horse Radio Network show highlight for you, Glenn. Do you want to go over that?
Yeah, well, on the Driving Radio Show this week, episode number 45, it was called Driving to School. There's actually a school out there for drivers. It's called the Fraser School of Driving. You can go there and take a week, 2 week, a month course, whatever you want to do. And it's run by this neat guy named Alec Fraser. We had him on the show this week. He had some stories to tell. I asked him if he had an extra brake and a steering wheel like you do when you take your regular driving, and he said no, and he wishes he did sometimes. So you can hear all about that. Plus, we speak with the ABS about clinics that are going on in the country right now. So that's what's going on over at the Driving Radio Show with Wendy and I. And you can find that at drivingradioshow.com.
And it is the time of the week where we talk to Lisa Slade from the Chronicle of the Horse. And Lisa is on here, and we're going to talk a little bit on the front page. If you go to chronofhorse.com, the article is a cross-country accident we can prevent. And it was written by Allie Conrad, and it was a story that happened this past weekend. And it is just absolutely crazy, something you would never think of, but that has happened before, and it needs to be changed. And Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Fantastic. A little bit excellent. Better than Will Coleman's horse is doing. My God, cool.
Oh, my gosh. I know, that poor guy.
So we haven't talked about this at all this week. We ran out of time yesterday. So can you just kind of paint the picture, tell the whole story about what happened to Will Coleman and Cool Connection on course this past weekend?
Yeah, it's a really horrifying story. And actually, we were there, and we had no idea that this had even happened until we got back on Monday. We heard that Will had fallen and that the horse was running around loose. And then they released a statement from the veterinarians just saying he'd been taken to the vet clinic for treatment and that, you know, he was going to be fine. But they didn't say what had happened. It's really awful. It sounds like he was there was sort of a bank down to a skinny, and he jumped down the bank quietly is what Will described. And then he sort of pointed him at the skinny, and it sounds like maybe he tried to run out. It sounds like he jumped almost into the flag, and this is just taken off of Will's Facebook page. It says, "What happened next is the freakiest thing I've ever had happen to me or a horse of mine in my lifetime. Noodle hit the flag quite hard and sent it flying in front of him. The top of the flag rotated and stuck in the ground in front of him, leaving the bottom part of the flag sticking up on a 45-degree angle from the ground." This is awful. You might want to prepare for what is about to happen. "As Noodle's hind end finished the jump, it came down directly on the suspended flag, literally spearing the horse through his groin sheath area and coming out by his anus."
Ugh.
So he actually got impaled on the flag, and then Will continues, "When this happened, he responded to the pain by bucking incredibly hard, but as he was already probably traveling at 400 meters per minute, he couldn't keep his feet and over-rotated, sending both of us somersaulting. This all happened in a matter of seconds, and I really had no idea what was going on until the horse, scrambling on top of my legs, finally got up and ran off towards the barn. At this point, as I lay on the ground, I saw the flag sticking out of his hind end, now broken in a lot of blood."
Oh, God.
I know. It's awful.
I have goosebumps all over. I mean, this is an accident that is a freak accident, but it happened, and I was reading in this article, an accident almost identical killed a horse at badminton in 2007. And good news is Will's horse will recover eventually. But I can't even imagine how angry he would be at a situation like this. And what a freak situation as well. Is there a conversation being started about how to fix something like this?
I don't know. You know, I think there's been a bit of a conversation before. I didn't remember the horse doing that at badminton, but now that I read it, that sort of rang a bell. We were actually just talking about it last night, a couple of us who work here, and just trying to envision a solution because, you know, I don't know anything about jumping fences that big or that skinny, but someone else who works here who's, you know, gone prelim and intermediate said that having the flags on a really skinny fence is super helpful. It sort of gives you something to point towards. It gives your horse something to clue in on, that if the flags weren't there, they might not understand the question.
So, well, hold on. Before we go on, let's explain the flagging situation for those who may not have ever seen a cross-country course. It is basically, you've got the jump, and you have to jump the jump with the red flag on the right and the white flag on the left. And these flags stick up from the outside of each cross-country question and obstacle. And usually what it is in most events is a very cheap wooden stake that's painted, you know, that sticks up, and it gets slid into a little slot on each side of the jump. And am I wrong here? Aren't they just kind of like wooden stakes almost?
Yeah, they are. They seem like very cheap material, just wooden sticks, basically. And most of the time, you know, horses often knock them down if they come through a corner or something, they jump too far to the right, and they just sort of pop out of their holder. They just fall down on the ground. That happens a lot. You know, most of the time they don't impale horses, obviously. But the picture we have with the article that's on the front page, that horse looks like he could have gotten stuck by the flag. You know, I don't think he did in that situation, but it's definitely not something I thought a lot about. But, I mean, obviously we don't want that to happen. That's absolutely horrifying. And they had to remove 16 inches of wood from the horse when they did emergency surgery. So, yeah, that's about the worst thing ever.
So they do have some options that they're working on. The conversation has been started, and apparently it started a while ago, but they still haven't come up with anything. And reading this article, it says they've been working on a type of flag designed to prevent this type of thing. Do you know what the options that they're discussing are? Because I could think of something like a bendy flag. I mean, what are they trying to work on?
I don't know. It sounds like there's one option that would work like a ski flag, and I actually know nothing about skiing, so I don't totally know what that means. But apparently, if you hit it, it just sort of bounces down to the ground. I don't know. Do you guys know anything about skiing? Is that what happens?
Yeah. Have you seen the downhill skiing, you know, like Lindsay, whatever her name was? They go downhill ski racing, and they basically run over the flag to the left and right, and the flag actually bends all the way to the ground and then pops back up.
Yeah.
That's kind of something, but I guess that something like that would be a little bit more expensive, you know. But heck, you know, if it saves a horse, this is ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, that's such a strange thing. It looks like they're also talking about drain pipes screwed onto the jump, and then I can't totally envision what that solution would be. It says allowing a knocked wooden flag to be popped out when needed and placed effortlessly back. I can't actually visualize what that would be like.
You know, with all the money they spend on these cross-country jumps building them, you know, an extra $10 for or $20 for a proper bendable flag, I don't think is a big deal.
No, and it definitely seems worth it if it's going to prevent something like this from happening, which, you know, again, doesn't happen a lot, but
what's amazing,
a lot either, and that was still obviously something that had to be fixed.
This horse got up and ran back to the barn with this impaled in him.
Oh my gosh, I know. He was running around for a long time because we kept hearing, I was standing next to someone with a radio, and he was saying, like, the horse is out in this backfield, now he's going back towards the barn, now he's going over here. He must have just been an incredible amount of pain.
Can you imagine that this horse, his name is Cool Connection, this horse is running a 3-star. Okay, so this is an $80,000 horse at least, right?
Yeah,
running a 3-star, belongs to Will Coleman, and this horse's career is probably over. And not even for the physical aspect of it, but the mental aspect of jumping a cross-country jump and it hurting. You know, because these aren't supposed to hurt. And having a huge crash like that, bucking and then flipping over and then being impaled, just an absolutely terrible story. And, you know, this is the kind of thing where I think, you know, as an eventer or as anybody involved in the horse sports,
this needs to be something that needs to be addressed. I mean, I had no idea that a horse got impaled and died at badminton a couple years ago.
No,
and
yeah,
nothing's been done. You know, at least put the flags up on these skinnies, these kind of things where horses jump through the flags a lot. Because
yeah,
you're not rewarded a penalty if you jump basically through the flag and it moves out of the way. You still
yeah,
get
right.
If you break the jump, you get penalties, but go ahead and jumping through it and breaking the flag, that means you just made it through the flag. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not even a discouraged kind of thing in cross country.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, just if you hit the flag on the right, no big deal. Now, it, to me, it's like scary as hell. I'm just going to jump right through. Just don't look at it. Just go. Oh, my God. Can you imagine how devastating this is for the horse, you know?
Yeah, it's actually, so this is a little bit funny. We posted this on our Facebook this morning. Someone commented, I've wondered if a pool noodle would work for the flags. They're definitely.
Oh, there you go.
That wouldn't hurt anybody.
No, that would not hurt anyone.
You know, the other thing I didn't think about, but depending on how that pole lands, you know, it's potential that it could impale the rider as well.
That's a good point. That's,
you know, because
really
they're
scary.
Tall. These poles tend to be, you know, as tall as I am or taller.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, this, you know, if it went off to the side and came up, you could impale the rider as well. So, yeah, a pool noodle. Let's vote for pool noodles.
We can start a movement to have pool noodles on all the fences.
Colorful
one simple
one.
Answer. That's all it takes. I love it.
You know, you can have a red and a white one. You don't even need the flag. Red
yeah,
and white.
Yeah, that's
one.
A great idea. I'm sure they would be really happy about doing that at badminton or something. I'm not even sure they have pool noodles in England.
That's funny. I love that idea. What a sad
story.
Yeah,
I'm reading
really
from your Facebook page, and the fact that the horse's name is Noodle
oh,
is awesome.
I know.
Because you can name it after the noodles. What
yeah.
a good idea. What a good idea. That's Laurie Shannon that came up with that. So, well, listen, Lisa, thank you for bringing this to the forefront there. And I know that there's another article that we probably are going to have to read and talk about with Jenny Brannigan. Apparently she had a recent
oh my
brush
gosh.
With death.
That's another horrifying thing.
Really? Ah, I can't
oh my
take
gosh.
All this.
This one is actually almost, it's not worse, but it's equally scary. I guess, well, you guys should read it. I don't know how much more time we have, but basically Jenny gets chased by a stallion that got loose and is attacking her horse.
Now, hold on, stop.
What?
Say that again. What happened?
She was riding a horse, and I guess one of the stallions on the farm jumped out of his paddock and then galloped up to her horse and started attacking him.
Oh, my God.
It's awful. Terrifying.
What
and
happened?
Who?
What was the bot? What happened? Now, you can't just leave it there.
Philip was in the ring as well. Philip sounds like the most amazing person ever in the story. He tells
Philip,
Jenny, like,
stop.
Run away. So Jenny
Philip
starts galloping, but I guess the stallion catches up to her, continues attacking her horse. Her horse falls on her. Someone else has to pull her out from under the fighting horses, and she tore her ACL was the end result. But that's MCL, but that's pretty lucky, I guess, if that's the worst
She's
thing.
She's lucky to be alive. What happened to the horses?
I guess they were fine. I don't know what they're doing with that stallion, but...
Wow.
Yeah.
Another bizarre story.
So,
you're just full of them today.
I know, it's scary. I'm glad I already rode my horse this morning.
Do you think Philip Dutton is, like, so tired of having to be the hero? Like, I mean, he was a total hero to Boyd Martin helping him pull Neville Bardos out of the fire. And now he's out riding the same week. Philip Dutton, by the way, won Jersey Fresh.
Yeah.
So, yes. He had a pretty crazy week. But, yeah, he went on to pilot his horse and win the whole thing. And he ended up riding her horse, but apparently didn't do so well. And
they took a little tumble in the water.
Crazy story. The horse getting chased and attacked, and it's right outside of Philip Dutton's farm, and he was just teaching right down the road, and he saw the whole thing, and poor Jenny Brannigan, my God.
Oh my
poor
God.
Thing.
It's insane.
Oh, okay. Nightmares.
nightmares, yeah, for sure.
Yes, both of these stories.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
For all you paranoid, for all you paranoid horse owners out there, welcome to the world. You just have more to be paranoid about. Things you never thought of before you can be paranoid about now.
I know. These are things I'd never thought to be scared of.
I was just trail riding down the road, just doing some trot sets, and I get attacked by a loose rogue stallion.
Yes, yes.
Now,
these are like absolute
nightmares. I can't trail ride, and I can't jump cross-country fences for fear of being impaled. Louise.
Exactly.
I got to get out of here. Well, Lisa, thank you for joining us. Lisa from The Chronicle. If you want to have some interesting reading, just go to thecronofhorse.com, chronofhorse.com, and we'll post the link to the Will Coleman story. But bless his heart, man. Will Coleman, thoughts and prayers go out to you and your pony, man. That sucks. That just sucks.
I know. I hope he's doing better.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye.
Oh, let's do a good story here before we can't end on that. We have to at least come up with a good story to talk about before. I got two of them for you. One is, this is a very good story because we're talking about minis and the names have started to come in. Do you want to hear some of them for the mini baby we're trying to name of Robbins?
Yes.
All right. Here's a couple of them. If I can get my Facebook to cooperate. A couple of them are Admiratio. Admiratio, which apparently is Latin for surprise. I like that.
Awesome.
And then Little Tyke is another name. Gift with purchase. I like that too. That's good. That's good for a formal name. You know, I call them gift or purchase for short. Juniper, Jumpa, or just plain cutie is another suggestion. Sweet Pea was another one. So there's lots of names coming in there. But speaking of minis, in Illinois, it's going through the Senate right now, and they voted 40-11 to allow miniature horses to become official service animals. So like seeing eye dogs and other animals that help the blind and help the disabled, that miniature horses would be able to do that, which means they'd be able to go in restaurants and go into buildings and things like that with them. And they have been using miniature horses more and more as guide animals. And there's actually a foundation. I was going to see if we could get them on the air sometime, Jennifer. It's called the Guide Horse Foundation. And they said that they're useful for people with severe allergies to dogs. That can't, so if you're blind and you have severe allergy to dogs, you can't use a dog. So they're saying that the mini horses offer a terrific alternative, and it looks like Illinois is about to enact that, and the governor said he would sign it. So that's good news.
Yeah. Let me do a story. It's my turn.
Okay.
I know the story you want to do, and that's, we're going to end the show with the house sale. Is
okay,
that the
right.
one you're talking about? Just so you know, I just wanted to point out there's some big news in the show jumping world. A show jumper, McLean Ward, has decided to retire his mare, Sapphire. Sapphire is the horse that won the gold medal in 2004 and 2008 in the Olympics and won the World Equestrian Games or got silver in 2006. This mare has won millions of dollars. She is like the reigning show jumper champion of our time. Okay, she's just absolutely amazing. Well, I guess she had a check ligament injury, and then he broke his leg, and they just started kind of bringing her back. She's a Belgian warm blood, and just started bringing her back. They were trying to breed her when he had broken his leg, and she was had hurt her ligament, but it was unsuccessful getting her in foal. Now they've decided, you know, just to go ahead and retire her. And he posted on his Facebook page, McLean Ward, Now that the news has broken of Sarah's retirement, I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for your wonderful comments, many of which have made me teary-eyed. While it is the end of her incredible career, I refuse to be sad. Sarah is retiring healthy, happy, and at her best. I am so grateful that fate chose me as the one to be in her life, be her rider and partner as she blazed her trail into show jumping history. There will be times that I will certainly miss her being by my side when the pressure is on, but when I think of her, all I have is incredible memories. Oh,
I look back and all I can say is how lucky we were. It's hard to imagine, let alone thank all of the people who at one point or another played a role in Sarah's and my success. But I will try. And then he goes on to name people. Oh, gosh, could you just cry? That is a man that loves his horse. Oh.
And he should. What an amazing career that horse has had.
Oh, God. Okay, you got to do the happy story.
All right, before we get to the happy story, my favorite name just came in for naming our listeners Mini Baby, and that's from Aubrey Miller, BOGO, B-O-G-O, and it's short for Buy One, Get One. I love it. I love that, Aubrey. Good job. Well, somebody else is very happy. Two people are very happy this week, and And first, I want to say this. Jamie, when they called you and offered you the position to host American Idol, and you turned it down because you wanted to do a radio show about horses, I just wanted to say you were an idiot. Because, Ryan Seacrest has just plunked down $37 million to buy the Beverly Hills home of Ellen DeGeneres. And we've talked about this home when it went up for sale for $49 million. By the way, she came down a cool $12 million to sell this to Ryan Seacrest. But, he just bought Ellen's house for $37 million. Now, he's selling his other one, his little place, his L.A. home, because he just purchased that from Kevin Costner and he decided he didn't like it for $12 million, so he's going to sell that. But, there you go. By the way, Ellen and Portia bought Brad Pitt's Malibu estate for $12 million in December. So it's like,
okay,
it's like musical chairs for homes with the rich.
It's mansion swapping. God, this needs to be a reality show. So here we have Kevin Costner, and he's like, I'm going to sell my house. And Ryan Seacrest's like, oh, my God, I'm going to buy Kevin Costner's house. And then Portia and Ellen are looking for a house, and they're like, oh, my God, we should totally buy Brad Pitt's Malibu mansion, but we need to sell our other mansion, and we'll sell that to Ryan Seacrest because he just sold the house that he got from Kevin Costner. It's like wife swap.
I know. And by the way, Ryan Seacrest must be making $1 billion a year. He's got, between his radio show, his American Idol, and he does other TV shows. He does that E! Thing. When the hell does he have time? And then, what did we hear Jennifer yesterday he's going to be doing now he just got hired for? Oh, the Olympics. He's going to be working with NBC on the Olympic coverage.
No kidding. Well, let me just point out, and if I may, that Ryan Seacrest is from Atlanta, Georgia, and the first radio station that, because he started his career in radio, the first radio station he ever worked at was Star 94. 94Q is what it was called then. And guess who also started at Star 94, baby? Me! Look where I am!
I would,
Living in the godforsaken desert, working on a horse radio show that's internet. And, not that I don't love it, but $37 million, you can just pay cash. Ryan, you got way to go, buddy.
You really should have settled down and considered dating him back then, is all I'm saying.
I know. He went to my rival high school, okay? Like, I'm so mad. I totally should have landed that guy a long time ago.
How old is he, do you think? How old is he? Is he 40?
If I'm 34, he's probably 36 or 37 because he was I think he was a year ahead of my brother, so he's probably 37.
37, making probably $250,000 a year between all his gigs. Not bad.
Not bad at all. Now, realistically, a guy that would have been a senior would never have dated a ninth grader, so I was out of the picture anyway.
You were too late, Jamie, too late.
Dang it.
Well, congratulations to Ryan. He can go play in his mansion.
That's a great, though. Good story, Glenn. Good story. And good show today. I'm going to go. I got to go ride a horse before it turns 110 today.
Okay. Have fun. Be cool. Thank you, everybody. Wear your helmets.
Stay neutered and geld.